So I've got some news to share. Not only is my breath fresher more of the time, but my teeth are healthier too, because I've been chewing underbrush remineralized gum from Nathan and Sons, and I can't decide what my favorite flavor is yet. Probably the Cinnamastic, the cinnamon one, but my wife swears by the Mastic Mint. She's more of a mint person. It's a debate every time I get in my car and we grab a piece of gum, because that's what I do. When do you chew your gum? I chew my gum in the car. But yeah, this is great stuff. I also like how the flavors don't just punch you in the face. They're actually like normal amounts of flavors rather than, you know, the mints that like take over your whole mouth. And it's healthy for you because there's hydroxyapatite, the same mineral that your tooth enamel is made from. So it's delicious and helps you take care of your teeth between brushings. It's great. If you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, head over to NathanandSons.com and check out their underbrush remineralized gum. Right now, you can get 30% off your first order when you subscribe. Visit NathanandSons.com today. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. So we've all heard of Vault Tech, but have you heard of Future Tech? Welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast, everybody. We will get to that topic in just a little bit, because we are back to talking about pre-war businesses, and Future Tech isn't exactly a standalone business, but it is related and it is very interesting. But before that, we've got some other pre-war businesses that we haven't covered yet. We're in the F's of the alphabet as we work through this, and this week's first pre-war business is Fabrique Nationale. Now, that might sound a little French, and it is. It is a French-sounding thing because it is French, and it is in Fallout 2 and Fallout Tactics, because this is a weapons manufacturer, a firearms manufacturer specifically, and like so many of the other ones that we've discussed, where they are either completely made up for the Fallout games and the Fallout universe, or they are basically pulling from a real-world company. This one is pulling from a real-world company, Fabrique Nationale de Herstal. I'm probably butchering the pronunciation there, but they show up in Fallout 2 with specifically the FN for Fabrique Nationale, F-A-L, or maybe it's just pronounced FAL, who knows? Sometimes you pronounce the acronym as if it's an entire regular word. And then also for Fallout Tactics with the FN-P90C. And that may sound even more familiar because a P90 is a real-world weapon. So their variation shows up in Fallout Tactics. Now, like I've discussed on previous episodes, chances are these no longer show up in the more recent games due to licensing agreements and not wanting to get sued or anything like that. So we may not see these in a new Fallout game anytime soon or added to something like Fallout 76, but we do know some things about them because they are based on real-world guns. The FAL stands for Fusil Automatic Leger, which means light automatic rifle. It uses 7.62mm ammo. It has a 20-round magazine. And in Fallout 2, if you compare it to the AK-112, it doesn't shoot quite as far, but it does a little bit more damage and is better against like medium armored enemies and that sort of thing. The main limitation of the gun is the fact that it only has 20 rounds in its clip, and otherwise is a pretty potent weapon. There's a high-powered, fully automatic variation and one with night sights. Now, if we look at the P90C, we get an item description from Fallout Tactics, which says, "The Fabrique Nationale P90C was just coming into use at the time of the war. The weapon's bullpup layout and compact design make it easy to control. The durable P93 is prized for its reliability and high firepower in a ruggedly compact package," which is pretty accurate from my understanding of a real-world P90. Fun fact, I'm not the biggest gun nerd in the world. You can talk to some of our other patrons who have been on this show about very specific deep dives into gun stuff. I only know kind of surface-level things, but I do know that in the TV show Stargate, they used P90s. They show up in that show. They were the squarish-looking guns that had like a shorter barrel on the front that were more useful for kind of a variety of situations. From my understanding, I'm sure somebody's going to correct me with more knowledge about that. But otherwise, this is a firearms manufacturer that was just kind of lifted wholesale out of the real world and placed into the Fallout universe. And in that universe, they seem to be active in the 2070s, making new weapons that are very similar to weapons that we had even just a few decades ago. So I guess technology didn't advance that far when it came to firearms.
You gaze upon one of America's greatest minds, preserved through the miracles of science.
All right, next up on the list, Freddy Fear's House of Scares. Yes, this is a Halloween costume company and retailer, very similar to the ones that pop up all over the place around the time of Halloween for us. And because the bombs dropped in that time frame, it makes sense that some of these locations, even if they were temporary, even if they rented out a storefront that was available to just do Halloween costumes for that time of the year, well, they were solidified in the history. The people who were living on past the dropping of the bombs would see these locations all over the place. And it turns out that we get locations in, well, we get a location in Fallout 3 and a location in 76 and some costumes that you can wear that come from this company and even play into quest lines. Now, in Fallout 3, there is a location in Paradise Falls, but you can't go in it. The store is inaccessible. In Fallout 76, however, the store is very accessible. You can walk around in it. You can find some leftover costumes and other things to pick up. But that doesn't mean that those are the only two games where you see any mention of Freddy Fears, because we get advertisements, posters, all sorts of like billboards and things like that from Fallout 3 to New Vegas, even in the Lonesome Road DLC, and then also in Fallout 4. So even though this shows up in Fallout 3, they didn't forget it. The developers, including the developers at Obsidian, used this asset in their game as if this was something that would make sense in their world. And it still does, because the bombs dropped the same day for everybody. So it makes sense that a Halloween costume shop would have been advertising all over the place. But it also shows up in Fallout 4, which shows that the Bethesda developers who worked on Fallout 3 didn't forget about it as well. And they fleshed it out some more in Fallout 76, because now you can actually get costumes, which are fun to collect and use while running around with your friends in the wasteland. There are 8 costumes available, and one of them I'm a little bit confused about. Here, this is what they are. Lady Liberty, which is obviously the Statue of Liberty, the Red Chinese Invader, so if you wanted to dress up as one of the bad guys that America is fighting, then you could do that, an American Soldier, so that goes with that. And then there's some scary stuff, of course, a witch, a skeleton, a vampire, a clown, which you could also put in the scary section if you wanted to, and then there is the Sock Hop Susie outfit. Now, at first, you're probably like, wait a minute, that sounds like a very traditional Halloween-type costume for kids who want to get dressed up and be like, you know, a different era. Oh, I'll be 1950s, and so I'll dress up in a sock hop outfit. Or, you know, for the guys, I'll wear a white t-shirt and jeans or whatever. But think about it. The entire Fallout universe is still stuck culturally in the 1950s. Wouldn't a sock hop outfit be just regular clothes for some people? And if that's the case, then how could you be nostalgic about something that still regularly exists? For example, I'm sitting here recording this, working on this episode, and right next to me, I have a cup with a Diet Pepsi in it because I enjoy my diet sodas. I know they're not the healthiest things for you, but the caffeine's useful. Anyway, imagine if I all of a sudden got nostalgic for Diet Pepsi. That doesn't make any sense. It's right here. I don't need to be nostalgic. I wouldn't have that emotion. I wouldn't go out of my way to get a Diet Pepsi if I saw one in the wild and I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't had one of those in years. That looks great. I want to try it again. See what it tastes like. That's not really how that works, right? So maybe, I guess the one argument would be that the actual sock hop look fell out of fashion, even though culturally they're still in the 1950s, and a lot of other styles are very similar, but something like poodle skirts are just not as common anymore. I don't know, something like that. But it is a little mysterious. It is a little bit odd. And before someone says, oh, the American Soldier still wears a very similar American Soldier outfit. Yeah, but the kids dressing up for the Halloween event aren't soldiers, so they're pretending to be someone else, whereas they very well could be wearing sock hop outfits. That's my point. Anyway, it is a little weird. Another thing worth pointing out is that the little posters and advertisements you see up places that are advertising Freddy Fears are really pretty cute. They at the top, they say Freddy Fears House of Scares. And underneath that, it says for all your Halloween needs, with this like spooky looking haunted house silhouette on the left. And on the right, there's like an old gate with a fence and a cat, some bats flying around. And then you have five different kids all dressed up in their little outfits with little names of each of the outfits underneath them. It goes from the American soldier in like a T-51B power armor suit, and then the sock hop girl, then Lady Liberty, then the vampire, and then the red Chinese invader. And at the bottom, they're even advertising a costume contest that happened on October 23rd, which means that it would have happened before the bombs dropped. So somebody must have won that contest. I wonder who it was. And I don't know if I've mentioned this enough on this show, but I really do appreciate that when you are walking around the world, you come across the remnants of decorations for Halloween, because that was the time of year and it totally makes sense. That's what would happen. The things that were happening in the real world would be frozen right in that moment, and nobody would take the time to take down the decorations. Also, one other question. The name of the store, the name of the business, is Freddy Fear's House of Scares. Who is this Freddy Fear? Is this a character from something else that we have yet to experience? Was it like I get the Freddy reference as being like, you know, the Freddy movies, the guy with the nightmares and the claw hand, but I wonder if this is a Fallout variation on that idea, and if we'll get something like that in the future. So there you go. Freddy Fears, House of Scares. Now, next up is another oddity. And instead of the last one where there was like one odd thing amidst the rest of it, which all made sense, this one is just kind of odd and might give us insights into the fact that there was more variety in the trends and population at the time of the bombs dropping than we would otherwise assume. The company is Fresh Soil Restaurant. This is a location in Watoga in Fallout 76, and there's really not a whole lot there. It's in this little shopping plaza, and you can see a sign for it. It says Fresh Soil Restaurant, but the sign appears to be one of those signs with the flip letters that you can adjust, the kind of sign that you would put, for example, an announcement about a sale, or, you know, like bacon and eggs have 50% off on weekends or something like that, right? But instead, it's used as the sign for the business, and it doesn't look like it's designed that way on purpose. It doesn't look like it is a fancy font or a picture, a logo. It is simply a flip sign, and you can't go in it. And in fact, it's hard to even recognize that this is a restaurant, because most restaurants in these types of cities are on the bottom floor of, say, a big building with other stuff in the building, but the bottom floor is used for restaurants and retail locations, things like that. And usually those locations have windows or something that allows you to see inside, especially for a place called Fresh Soil Restaurant, which doesn't come across as like a closed off bar. Sometimes bars will be dark and windowless on purpose. No, this seems like the location that you would want sunlight to come in, because it's a Fresh Soil Restaurant, which also seems to imply that this is the type of restaurant that focuses on healthy, actual grown in nature, organic type food. And that is backed up by the Vault Dweller Survival Guide, which says, across the road south of the Watoga Real Estate office is an organic restaurant. This is fully boarded up and inaccessible. And specifically, it says in that guide, organic restaurant. Now, let's think about this for a moment. The city of Watoga is the city of technology in Fallout 76. Everything there is automated. The buildings are super modern. They're real slick. You have robots everywhere. This feels like a highly technologically progressive place. And what's so interesting about that is that this is not a restaurant that's like the synthetic meat or any of the other high tech type stuff. It is catering to an audience that wants to go back to farm grown food, organic, natural food, which seems to imply that there is a diversity of people in a city like this. Now, two ideas pop in my head. Sometimes people who tend to be very progressive technologically are also very progressive when it comes to diet, which means doing things like going back to all natural ingredients and those types of things. That's definitely part of how some segments of the population work. So that would make sense. But it also feels contradictory to the setting and kind of hidden, almost like this is the kind of place that you go, but you don't always want everyone knowing that you're going there. And we know that there are different factions in Fallout. The pre-war world had its people who were pro-America, pro-corporation, those types of things, and the people who were against a lot of that type of stuff, and then every variation and flavor in between. I'm sure you had a variety of those types of people. But oftentimes, we don't get things like this that give us a glimpse of their lives, what they would be doing. And so it makes sense. There's probably a small percentage of the people in a place like Watoga that want something like this, and they're fulfilling that demand. Now, because it's inaccessible, we can't get in to read the screens or the holotapes or any of that kind of stuff. So we really don't know a whole lot else about it, but it is a curious little anomaly in the middle of one of the major towns in Fallout 76.
How may I help you? Alleged member of the living.
So we're moving from one restaurant to a very different kind of restaurant, at least visually and on the surface, but also probably in some other ways. We don't have a menu for the Fresh Soil restaurant or anything like that, so I don't know a ton about it. But when you are just looking at these two locations, the Fresh Soil restaurant is a slick, metallic, part of a skyscraper kind of thing. But when we look at Freya's Haas restaurant, Freja's house, that would be the really American way to say that, you end up with a wooden, traditional looking building that is serving Swiss or German food. This is in Helvetia. You probably have been here if you've done any of the Fasnacht events over the last 8 years. It's the yellow looking building. It's on the corner of Pickens and Helvetia Adolf Road. Someone named Gunther is dead in the restaurant still. Nobody's moved his body. Poor guy. This is also the location that whenever I need wood, I always go right here because there's a big stack of wood right on the back side of the building. And it's got that cozy small town vibe of being the kind of place that maybe immigrants coming to the United States decided to open up a restaurant with some of the cuisine from their homeland, and the people in the neighborhood and in the town nearby enjoy that because it's kind of a special thing for them. These types of places pop up all over the US. But like so many other locations in Fallout 76, this one is based on a real world location. The Hoot restaurant, I think it's pronounced Hoot, H-U-T-T-E, with the two dots, the umlaut over the U. I think it's Hoot. That'd be my guess. And this is a real place. They have a website. They have a Facebook page. You can look at the pictures, and the pictures are very similar to the building in Fallout 76. It's yellow. It has the three windows along the top. Everything is very similar. And I'm going to read you some of the descriptions here because this is basically a one for one. The Hoot restaurant is located in Helvetia, West Virginia. Helvetia was settled by a group of Swiss and German immigrants who came via Brooklyn, New York in 1869. The Hoot, founded in 1968, serves traditional Swiss American food. And it is exactly what you would expect it to be. They even have a story on their webpage that explains more. In Switzerland, a hut is a small alpine cabin that seasonally houses shepherds. In the summer, the shepherds herd livestock to the mountain pastures to ensure that the cows, sheep, and goats produce high-quality aromatic milk. That's a fancy word. In the mid-19th century, alpine exploration gained popularity in Switzerland, and the modest dairy huts were also used by climbers for warmth, cooking, and rest. Whether it's for adventure, reprieve, or fine food, we welcome you to our little hut in the Appalachian Mountains. Maybe it's just hut. That also would sound correct. But then it talks about the founders and the year it was founded and that sort of thing. So in my imagination, this is the same exact building. It's just extrapolated into the future and now is a part of Appalachia in Fallout 76. And maybe it's going under a different name, maybe ownership changed at some point, but it's kind of fun to think that it's not just ammo and weapon manufacturers who come from the real world. These locations do as well. And now with a yearly event where you can go to Appalachia in order to celebrate Fallout with a bunch of other people, you can go to this restaurant and see what it's like in the real world. But just don't steal their wood without asking first. I have a feeling they wouldn't appreciate that. All right, one more before we get to future tech. This is a quick one. Fumigus, however you pronounce that. This is a metalworking tool brand, and the only thing that we have in the Fallout games is a blowtorch. They're the ones who make it. They make blowtorches. They may have made other stuff. There might be other things going on. They may have locations where they have manufacturing or retail locations. I don't know. But no, that's all we get is a blowtorch. Ta-da. All right, so here we are, future tech. Now, this may or may not be familiar to you. If it's not, this is a piece of Vault Tech. They are not their own standalone company. This is a department of Vault Tech. And Vault Tech is made up of many different departments and sub-companies, subsidiaries, things like that. So, for example, this is technically a subsidiary, which means that it may have been purchased or it is, for some reason, legally separated from the main company that owns it, but it is still a part of Vault Tech, just like Hawthorne Medical or even Vault Tech Game Studios. But what exactly is Future Tech and why are they part of Vault Tech? Well, this is interesting because we know Vault Tech, well, a lot of the stuff they built didn't actually work correctly. There's a lot of failure in the vaults and a lot of weird experiments, and sometimes things just don't function correctly. Turns out that Future Tech was much more competent, and that might be because they were being led by Stanislaus Braun. Yes, the crazy guy in the VR simulated world that was torturing everybody, that Stanislaus Braun. He's behind the design of so many of the vaults and so many of these vault ideas, but he's also behind a lot of the tech that Vault Tech was working on and in a few different ways. One of the things that Future Tech did was they investigated top secret and alien technologies. There's a flag in the atomic shop for them, which states Future Tech was once a secret branch of Vault Tech tasked with investigating top secret and alien technologies. And you can also fly this flag at your camp in Fallout 76. Now, Braun, we know, is a crazy weirdo guy, but he seemed to be highly competent as well. I mean, think about the other things that he accomplished. And probably the most impressive accomplishment of Future Tech is the Garden of Eden creation kit. Yes, the GEC. This is the group that designed the GEC, which feels like a magical device because it can transform what is basically a wasteland into a fertile, functioning biome again that you can plant things in. You can grow plants and trees and have animals eat the plants and trees in order to then feed them. Like, it's a farm. It makes a farm. It can make a farm, and it can also make things that you can then build things off of because of trees. Anyway, you guys know what a GEC is. But have you ever read an official description of a GEC? Well, turns out in the Fallout role-playing game rulebook, there is one. It says this: devised by Vault Tech's Future Tech division, this terraforming device uses matter recombination technology to transform irradiated or otherwise polluted earth into fertile soil. It also includes force field schematics and 3D printing arrays to make everything from buildings to clothing from the raw materials of the earth. Now, like I said, maybe that is like the wood of the trees that would grow there, but also it seems like it can just pull material out of the earth itself, recombine the matter into other, I don't know, combinations that can work for other stuff. It's kind of magic. It's definitely got that, like, on the edge of sci-fi, but also magic thing. But when you think about what this group was investigating and the knowledge that they would have had over not just future tech, but alien technologies, then it starts to come together. Future tech was using technology that most people didn't even know existed in order to create technology for Vault Tech and nobody else. But even though they were highly successful in being able to use this technology to make something as functional and powerful as a GEC, it didn't mean that they were able to do everything that they wanted. In fact, there were funding reasons why they weren't able to produce Gex for every single vault. Not every vault has a Gek. And it's not necessarily because they decided that that vault shouldn't have one because of the design for it was focused on some other experiment and it wouldn't need it. It was more that Vault-Tec simply didn't give them enough funding to make enough Geks. Now, we could brainstorm a number of reasons why that might be the case. Maybe things were coming to a close faster than they expected. Maybe the bombs were dropping sooner. Maybe they needed to put the funding into something else. There is speculation around Vault-Tec's role in the dropping of the bombs, all of that. I think that it's probably more likely that Vault-Tec is being run and even mismanaged by people who have priorities that aren't 100% in line with rebuilding the wasteland when they're done. Many of them are more about the things that they get from being involved, being like the TV show, one of Bud's buds and being in charge. You don't need to save the entire wasteland if you can save yourself and then become the, I don't know, most powerful person among a group of vaults that actually do survive. And if there are a few Geks, that's enough to survive on if you live in one of the places where the Geks end up. So why would you need to send one to every vault? Because that would just create more people. You don't need more people. In fact, one of their plans seems to be to remove people. Now, don't take any of that as canon. That's all just speculation. And there are, I'm sure, a dozen other ways you could speculate about this. Maybe Stanislaus Braun was coming up against the other leadership in the bigger Vault-Tec Corporation because he's probably not the nicest guy to work with, and they decided to defund some of his work. Maybe he wasn't revealing enough about the secrets and they didn't actually trust him. There's all sorts of reasons you could come up with for why this would end up the way it does, but the Gek isn't the only thing they developed. Now, I wish we had a list of all the different projects that they worked on and we had some holotape that explained what was going on just months before the bombs dropped and what technologies they'd put out into the world or into each of the specific vaults. But I think you can make assumptions that, for example, the VR stuff in Stanislaus Braun's actual vault that you find him in probably developed by Future-Tec. The vaults themselves, a lot of the technology that goes to running them and powering them, the water chips, things like that, probably had something to do with Future-Tec. But the one other item we do know for sure, because it has Future-Tec's name on it, is the Future-Tec World Globe. And the first time I saw this, the 10th time I saw this in Fallout 76, as an item you can get in the atomic shop, I thought, oh, that's just a cool looking globe you can put in your house. Turns out it's more than that, because I didn't actually read the description at the time. So the object is titled the Future-Tec World Globe. So it has Future-Tec in the name. So this is something they made. And the description is, visualize a global nuclear exchange and plan your escape routes with the Future-Tec World Globe. So you might think it actually does more than just look nice on a table, but it really doesn't do that much else. When you spin it, if you go up and hit the interact button, it spins. And then you can see multiple nuclear detonations pop up on the globe. Now, maybe there's more to it. Maybe this thing was predicting locations. Maybe they had some sort of, I don't know, equation for figuring out which locations were most likely to get bombed so that you could use this globe to decide not to be in a certain place at a certain time or something like that. It really just feels like something fun to put in your camp in the game, and I'm not sure that it has a ton of functionality, but it does exist and might be hinting at some tech that they were already working on or focused on, which would make sense if Vault-Tec had something to do with the bombs dropping. And before anyone comments on that statement, again, we only know that they were planning to possibly do it. We don't know that they actually hit the button and did it based on the evidence shown in the TV show. So it's still up in the air. We just know that they had considered it and were potentially also planning to do it themselves. But did someone else beat them to it? We don't really know. Now, there might be other Future-Tec things out in the Fallout world. There might be other things that you can find in, I don't know, 76, because this is part of the Future-Tec bundle, which includes a flag. I wouldn't consider that part of their technology, but also the world globe, and then a staircase, a small Vault-Tec prototype generator, which implies that they had something to do, like I said, with creating generators for the vaults. But then you end up with like Vault Boy cutouts, desk lamp, plushie, and a Vault-Tec flag. So there's not a whole lot else in that bundle that gives us any other hints into what they might have been working on. But that doesn't mean that there isn't tech in the world that they did work on in other vaults, or even just functionally out in the world that people might have in certain building locations or something like that. So keep an eye out. If you see something that looks like it might be made by Future Tech, then that might be the case. It just might not have the name on it. I think it would be really cool if we got some Future Tech stuff in a future Fallout season of the show, especially if we got to meet Stanislaus Braun in some sort of flashback. That would be crazy. All right, let's go thank our patrons. I'll be right back.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, thanks again to all of the patrons who help support the show and all of the listeners just for being here. You guys are supporting the show, and I do appreciate that. But you can also sign up on Patreon, patreon.com/falloutlorecast, get ad-free episodes, join us for patron chats and some other stuff. Also, welcome to Celtic Knot 97. I don't know if you pronounce it Celtic Knot or Celtic Knot, because people pronounce it differently, but welcome to the Patreon. So glad that you decided to join us. And shout outs to our sentry bots, Germinator, Nova, the main monkey, and Era. Thank you so much for your continued support as well. Also, we got this nice new review that came in just a few days ago from, I'm going to mess up the name, Nuisart? Goated Podcast. It's very long. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's like four paragraphs. But they said that they really enjoy the show and they love all the knowledge about Fallout and all of that, and also enjoyed the Starfield Lorecast and that kind of stuff as well. But thank you for taking the time to leave that big review and let people know why they should check out the show. I really do appreciate it. All right, that's going to do it for this week. I hope you enjoyed going back to the pre-war businesses. I have some other ideas for some other one-off episodes that aren't one of these series. In fact, somebody had mentioned a vault that I never covered back in the day on our Discord server and asked, hey, like, hey, did you do an episode about this one? And turns out I didn't, because when I was going through all of the vaults, that one was hinted at, but we didn't actually have any information for it yet. And later on, they fleshed it out. So thank you for the reminder. I'll probably discuss that on a future episode, along with some other things. If there are things that I haven't covered, and there's definitely things I haven't covered. I haven't covered every companion in every game or every location or any, there's lots of stuff. So if there's something that you are specifically looking for, jump on the Discord, send me a note on there and say, hey, I would love an episode about this, if you want to put that on your schedule for future stuff. I really do appreciate all the feedback and you guys being a part of this community. Thank you so much. I'll see you next week. Have a wonderful week, and I don't know, go try some Swiss American food if you decide to visit Helvetia. See you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.